there's something to be said about, you know, taking your emotion out of divorce. I know it's not easy and there's a time for emotion for sure, but there are other ways of manifesting that emotion. Yeah. And so, and I, especially when it comes to communication. So, you know, you always find how, oh, cold and, you know, he's this and he's, I'm like, well, he's just operating a level without emotion. So it's cold to you, but he's just not putting it in there. And that's how you have to meet him. Preserve that energy for something else. Preserve that energy and that emotion for yourself.
Welcome to the Thriving in Chaos Project. Certified divorce coach and credentialed mediator Paulette Rigo invites you to grab a favorite beverage, find a cozy seat, soothe your soul, and take a listen. This podcast was created and inspired by our courageous journeys, love for connecting with others, and having meaningful conversations that teach, impact, and heal through sharing our stories. In each episode, Paulette will be joined by some of the most experienced and compelling experts in all things divorce and transformation. Listen to prepare and thrive through the toughest chapters as we reveal our hardships, celebrate our lessons learned, and see the future clearly with encouragement, hope, and joy. Leave feeling empowered and prepared to approach life and maintain our dignity no matter what. Each podcast episode focuses on sharing real conversations from real life situations. Isn't it time you thrived? Welcome to the Thriving in Chaos Project. I'm Paulette, your host, and I am very, very toe-tapping, finger-snapping happy to have a lovely guest join me today. Her name is Lila Ali. She also is known as the split coach. She's a divorce doula. I'm a birth doula, so I think that's cool. And she supports people to reset, reclaim, and rebirth before, during, and after divorce. She's also a fellow divorcee. Join the club, get to the back of the line. It's a big one. And co-founder of Split FYI, which is a virtual kindred community for people to turn to when they find themselves facing that difficult decision and difficult time in their lives. So welcome to the Thriving in Chaos Project.
Hello, Paulette.
I'm so glad you're here.
Yes, so
she
glad
woke
you
up
had
right in early for us, everyone, because she's on the West Coast and I'm on the East Coast. So again, tell us a little bit about your story and why would you ever want to be a split coach and create a founder of Split FYI.
All right. So, you know, it's funny because in a nutshell, I don't know if I can say it, but I would tell you the story began basically, obviously, as you mentioned, I have my own divorce story. And the story began when I was pregnant. And I know I've talked to you about this. I was pregnant and 6 months into my pregnancy, my husband decided to leave me. So you can imagine the atmosphere in my body, around me when that happened. I think it was blurry. You know, they often talk about divorce brain. Well, it started right at that second. You know, I have very little memory of how I reacted to all of that. But I do know that it was obviously a huge pivotal moment in my life, but it was one that just flipped my world upside down in so many ways. You know, there was this juxtaposition, you know, when we talk about people being split or things being split or polarized, right? Mm-hmm. I had that inside of me. I had this beautiful, beautiful baby growing inside of me, which is such a joy. At the same time, had this, you know, facing this heartache and everything. I lost trust. I lost everything. I lost my sense of self, who I was, and my security. You know, at times I was like, how am I going to be a mom? You know, these are the things that were going through my mind, and how am I going to do this on my own? And you know, meanwhile, I'm living on my own and doing fine up until I got, you know, married. It was just all these thoughts that came into my mind were thoughts that I've actually ever experienced before. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So then started, you know, the proceedings. So I was pregnant. I remember while I was pregnant, I did desperately try to knock some sense into my ex-husband and figure out ways that we could get back together and let's go to therapy. Let's do this. Let's do that. I mean, I was really sideswiped, you know, when I talk about being sideswiped by divorce, mm-hmm. it just took me under the rug. I mean, yeah, you know, as all couples do, we had our differences in certain things. There was a lot of passion in our relationship and that kind of fueled some of our fighting, but in the end of the day, actually, I really was shocked by it all, right? I did not see it coming. And there was another woman involved. So when that happens, very hard to knock some sense in, you know, and try to maybe recuperate the whole relationship in some way. And it just turned, once I found out that there was another woman, to be honest, I was kind of in denial for a bit. Once I found out while I was pregnant, I said, okay, this is just, how do we cope, right? How do we cope moving forward? Once the baby is born, co-parenting, all that, you know, how do I get divorced? What am I supposed to do? So I was in my mid-30s, early 30s, and my friends were getting married and having kids. They weren't getting divorced. I had no one around me to really turn to. I had a few older friends that I did some work with that I ended up turning to. And I said, do you know anybody I can talk to? Any lawyers, anybody? I don't know where to turn to. When you go online back then, it was just, I was inundated and overwhelmed. You know, I was too emotional to even see straight. I just wanted to talk to someone. So I got, they gave me a list of lawyers that they've heard about. And, you know, I started that kind of process, and I didn't realize, wow, that was a difficult one in itself. You know, again, I learned fast. You can't use a lawyer if your husband is called a lawyer. Some lawyers won't talk to you unless you put like 1,000, you know, I was doing this in the UK, so I used pounds, but like 1,000 pounds down, which is like $1,500. I learned all these things while I was such an emotional wreck, and it was really difficult for me through that process. Now, I remember at a process of elimination, I went with my first lawyer, and I say that because I did change lawyers later on, but I went with my first lawyer because I'll never forget how accommodating she was. She said, you know what, you're pregnant. Let's just meet at a coffee shop. And she didn't even charge me for it, to be honest. She was so kind to me. She looked at me, she said, please don't do anything now. Just have your baby, you know, breathe. You don't know what's gonna happen, and then we'll tackle it. And I think at the end of the day, it's what I wanted to hear and I needed to hear. And, you know, I went with her as a result, just because of that human touch, that human contact, that person who just made me feel better.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. Right. It's all you need. That's all you want. And, you know, my family were shell-shocked. My friends were shell-shocked. I, you know, our mutual friends, our mutual good friends, okay, they didn't know which way to turn, you know, what to do, you know, what is going on. So it's like a whirlwind, right? Everybody around you just kind of is spinning. And so I guess, moving forward, because I did mention that, you know, I went through the court system for quite a bit. So in the UK, if anybody is listening from the UK, they do things a bit differently than the US, and they don't commingle finances with parenting, children matters, as they call it. And so it's separated. So actually,
more proper, child matters.
Yeah, child matters. Exactly. I love the way the English they spin things. So our financial proceedings actually went really quickly. You know, I was in no position to even think straight or think about the finances. I just wanted it over, right? And I, you know, we were both in understanding, and it became what I found out really fast, it is a numbers game and it's not really an emotional game, right? So when you're dealing with finances, really it's a business. And that's where I learned quickly, that's the business of divorce. So that was pretty smooth sailing, but what you do realize is when money is involved or someone has to give up something, or, you know, when things really come to understanding, like my ex soon found out, oh, wow, I'm really, by the way, he moved away from the UK and moved to Canada where he's from. So he was, I'm not going to spend enough time with my daughter. And wait a minute, you know, and I had to give you some money. And, you know, there's all these things and factors, and I can't speak for him, but I just know that they probably, and fueled by lawyers, you know, they created a lot more animosity, let's say. So what are in and out of court for 10 years and probably gave me my, you know, master's in divorce was really around child matters, only around child matters, which was really difficult because, you know, by law, you have to go to court when you're summoned. And it's exhausting. I was an emotional wreck. I was just trying to, you know, find my feet and figure out how to be a mom and go through a divorce, which, you know, very well is like a full-time job. So navigating that without any divorce coach or other professional, I definitely signed up with a therapist for sure. And thank God for that. And the therapist, you know, really helped me work on me, you know, because what I was doing a lot of was worrying about what he was going to do, what was going to happen through it all. Right. How is he going to react if I do this? How is he going to, what is he going to say? It was all about him. And, you know, when, how is my daughter going to cope? And how is this, you know, I was worrying about everything external. And I wasn't really thinking about myself. So, you know, through therapy and through a lot of self-work, you know, I really explored that. And I just kind of had to recreate my identity, I guess, you know, recreate who I was and figure out what I needed and what I wanted. Mm-hmm. That was a process.
Yeah.
Probably took a lot longer than it needed to, right? It could have taken a lot less if I actually had a little bit more help. But, you know, my friends were amazing and the camaraderie was amazing. But it was hard for them to understand. They weren't going through a divorce, right? And in some cases, I felt bad even talking about mine when they're happily getting married or having children, right? Mm-hmm. So I was dealing with all that guilt as well. So what I realized in all of this is that, okay, I kind of had to take things. I relied a lot on my lawyer, okay? I realized that I had to take things in my own hands and I had to start becoming my own advocate. Mm-hmm. So when I was in the UK, I signed up to become a certified mediator. Back then, they were just passing the law where mediation was mandatory. I found myself with barristers and lawyers in my course and just me, the experienced one, firsthand experienced divorcee, which was very interesting. I learned a lot, you know, I learned a lot from all aspects. And I did also soon learn that I think that as much as I think mediation is fantastic, I think it's very hard for me as how I'm wired to be that neutral body. I want to help people. I want to support people. I want to help them see another way. I want to work with them, you know? And I saw that it's very difficult to do when you're mediating. Yeah. You know, you have to sort of sit there as a neutral body. But as a result, I ended up being that go-to person in London, you know? A friend of a friend is getting divorced. Can you talk to them? Or my friends started getting divorced. And people I knew were getting divorced. And I became that person that everyone just went to for advice, for help, for understanding. So by default, I sort of just became this coach. And it wasn't my work, it wasn't my business, but it was something that I really enjoyed doing. And I have to say, Paulette, and I know that you probably feel the same way, but there lies something very interesting. And when you're going through something so difficult, yeah, and you're inundated with thinking about your situation all the time, Sure. It really is a breath of fresh air when you can support other people and you start thinking differently. It helped me cope with what I was going through by helping other people. Mm-hmm. There's something magical in that, right? So it's because when you're saying and giving advice to your friends or to anyone, sometimes you always think, oh, I should give that to myself too. I mean, we all do that, right? Like we're really great at giving advice, but not really taking it upon ourselves to do the same thing. So I found, you know, that by helping other people, I was like, wow, this is really helping me in my situation, how I'm dealing with it. You know, mediation definitely helped me with my negotiation skills. It helped me deal with my ex-husband a lot better. You know, my ex-husband definitely had a personality disorder. And, you know, you could call it whatever you want. I mean, people, you know, say a lot about narcissism and this and that, you know, and I think we all have that a little bit in ourselves, but it was exasperated by the situation that we were dealing with. I was up against a fighter. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to accept it. And I had to deal with it. Instead of being victim and, you know, living in my story, I had to figure out how to get out of that story and, you know, figure out how to deal with that in the best way possible, right?
No, I couldn't agree more. And thank you for sharing that story. It's a tender, vulnerable, yet naive point in a woman's life. And mm-hmm. I say naive in an innocent way, not a derogatory. Right. I know a lot of people use the word naive, you know, as some sort of insult or something. But when you're newly pregnant and you're, you know, married and you're in this evolving relationship, you're young, you're pregnant, you are vulnerable, you do feel naive. You don't, like, what is this motherhood thing? And what did I sign up for? And oh my, part of you is like, you know, so excited because we just identify as being a woman with being a mother and creating life. But yet it's new, like, what am I doing? And here you are at this very vulnerable point in your life of being told that, listen, I really don't want to spend the rest of my life with you. And here you are, holding this body, this new life with the person that's now in many ways rejecting you. I can't imagine going back. I was pregnant with my first child at 28, going through that same thing, the amount of compassion that I personally, you know, want to jump through my computer and hug you. You know, granted, I know she's, you know, this was quite some time ago. And I don't know that you were, and I know you were across the pond, as we say, over in England, but like you said, you didn't really have people to turn to. It must have been incredibly lonely and scary and all of that. But look where it's taken you, right? Of now you're living on the West Coast and creating a platform really to help others. And that's what inspires me. So what exactly is Split FYI?
Right. So when I moved over here, so when I was living in the UK, and as a result of the story and, you know, the what I went through, basically, while I was going through and while I was helping others, I sat here and I thought, okay, why isn't there a platform? Why is there something out there that can help? I mean, I was so desperate to talk to people that I'm not against it, but I don't go to church. I'm not religious. And I went to the church meetings because there was a divorce group, right? Mm-hmm. I was completely desperate to connect with other people going mm-hmm. through the same thing. All right. Mm-hmm. So what I thought of back then when I was in the UK, I was like, okay, there's something needs to happen. Like, we need to be able to connect easier. And I don't want to go on social media. Now, social media was a little different back then. I think this was even pre-Instagram, to be honest.
What year and was this?
So this was 2009.
Okay.
When my daughter was born. So let's say just before end of 2008, 2009, 2010. I mean, you know, it wasn't the year of, you know, there was Facebook and so forth. And I wasn't really into that. And to be honest with you, I was shamed. I was, you know, I felt shameful. I felt guilty. I felt all these feelings that the last thing I wanted to do was go on social media, you know? And so I was desperate for that connection. And I said, ah, there needs to be something. Maybe I'll start a blog. Maybe I'll do this. You know, there, I went and thought about all these different things. And by the way, I just want to also tell you that, you know, when my daughter was 2 years old, and going back to this story really quickly, because it has a role in what I'm doing now. When she was about two, I met my now second husband, and I was introduced to him via friend. And we had an on and off relationship for a while. And imagine a man coming into a relationship there. I was still in the throes of going in and out of court. Yeah. There was a lot there, and, you know, I had a little girl, and, you know, he didn't have children, and, you know, there was a lot to navigate in that relationship. However, we stuck it out, and we really made it work, and it was great. And he was such a sound mind for me in so many ways. But we decided, both of us, to move to the US because of many reasons, for both our work and also because I have been away from the US for so long. I was born and raised New York and Washington, DC, East Coast girl. And my family's here. My brother's in San Diego. You know, I was like, you know, I've been away for a long time. At that point, when I decided to move, I was in Europe for 20 years. Mm. So, you know, for me, it was a decision that we both made, that we both needed. And I felt in my heart and soul that what I wanted to create was going to happen in America. Because, you know what, that's the beauty about America. Shit happens. And it's, you know, and I'm not saying that nothing doesn't happen in the UK and Europe, but, you know, I've been living in both sides of the pond. And I will tell you that that is, you know, one of the things that you say, the pros and the cons list, on the pros list of America, things just happen. You know, it's a rainmaking society. So we both decided, all right, let's do this. He's an actor, he's a screenwriter, you know, LA seemed perfect fit. I was close to my brother. So we moved here. And when I came here, I realized, you know, with my mediation background and already the help that I was doing, like, maybe I should get an accreditation in divorce coaching. And I signed up for CDC, which is a certified divorce coaching program. You know, I was kind of almost shocked. I didn't even realize this was out here. You know, I didn't even realize people were doing this. It was amazing. It was like opened up a whole new world. So I signed up, and that's where I met my now business partner, Heather, on the CDC program. She is a CDFA. So she's a certified divorce financial analyst. And we had a cohort about 20 people. And I just, when I met her, like, you know, through the program, I just knew. I was like, you know what? This is who I need to solidify this idea that I've been ruminating in my mind for 4 years now. Mm-hmm. Why split FYI? So there's a couple of reasons. First of all, not everybody's married. I have lots of people that I've helped that are separated with children, who didn't choose the, you know, marriage path. Sure. So I didn't want to deny them of this, because it's the same. The feelings are the same. You know, the protocols are the same. There's children. I mean, there might be a little bit different legally, but really it's the same, right? Mm-hmm. Also, split FYI. So it's split for your information, right? So like our whole idea is, you know, what I always said is you want to be your best advocate. You don't want to abdicate all your decision-making for everyone else, right? You want to become a splitting genius. And that's our kind of our MO, right? Like, all right, we want to make people their splitting genius. You know, we want to connect people to professionals like yourself via different modalities. And we need a community, and a community away from social media. And why I say that, because it goes back to how I was feeling. You know, I always think about, and I can only think about that because I know a lot of stories. I've helped a lot of people. I coach a lot of people, but at the same time, the underlay is all the same. Everyone feels lost, whether you wanted the divorce or not. It's a change in your life. You know, it's change of identity. There's a loss. There's a grief. There's all these things that you go through, right? So the connection of other people is really important. But when you're on social media, you can lose sight of that. You can lose sight of what you're really trying to do. You're seeing other people having this fabulous life. You're seeing all of this other stuff. You're distracted. You're getting inundated with so many things. So, you know, between politics, between that, and sometimes it's nice to just kind of make time to connect with people, you know, that are in that same boat, are trying to get through the same way you are getting through. And some of them are ahead of you, some of them are behind you. It doesn't really matter. You know, they're all helping one another. And like I said earlier, what I touch pointed, how immensely important it was for me to help other people to realize and how to help myself, right? So we're creating this platform because we see the need. And I definitely saw the need of connection to other people. And you learn a lot from other people and their experiences, right? And what they're going through. Also, it's a great place to connect to divorce professionals. So, you know, it takes a village, you know, it doesn't take one, it doesn't take just a lawyer, you know, in some cases it takes a CDFA, in some cases it takes, you know, a realtor, in some cases, in a lot of cases, I think I am a strong believer, not just because I am one, but in a divorce coach, you know? So I, like yourself, and I, a mediator, what have you, there's so many, right, of professionals that can help you through this, dating coach. So we're creating this portal to kind of take the overwhelm out of your divorce. So one of the things that Heather and I always say is that, you know, you need to schedule your time for divorce, right? I felt I was overwhelmed because it was just all consuming, morning till night, you know, went to bed with it, woke up with it, you know, didn't stop, you know, always check the emails, always try to answer back, you know, never took that breath, you know, for so long. And so one of the things that we really feel is that, you know, with this portal, it's like, okay, this is your moment to connect with that, you know, work with that, work in your divorce. You connect with other people, you see what other people are doing. You can make friends. You make friends who are like-minded or kindred, who are going through the same thing. Another mother who's got, you know, a newborn who, you know, you two can chat about that feeling. It's like what you said, you know, you've gone through this, so you can completely understand what I went through, right? Mm-hmm. And so that is so powerful in having that connection. So our portal, hopefully by the time this is aired, will be already launched. it's a, you know, a membership that you belong to this portal. You have your own alias. So another thing is, which is really important, is that, you know, you can show your identity or keep your identity hidden. And in the sense that, you know, when you're going through it, I think a lot of people fear, you know, Facebook, well, you will always know who you are. You know, most of the social media, we always know who you are. With this, it's completely hidden. Also, you know, there are a lot of people who are like, what if my ex-husband is on there? What if my ex-wife is on, you know? So this is a safe place to create your own portal, to your own dashboard. And you have your own profile. You have, you know, everything that you need to connect with and resources. And within this portal, you actually can save a lot. Like, let's say I eat this podcast. Okay, well, I want to listen to that. So you have a way to save all the resources within your own dashboard. You also have a way to connect to other, you know, obviously to different various conversations that are happening. And so another thing that we found overwhelming in the social media, and this is the only thing outside of maybe Meetup or church groups or so forth I'm speaking to, because that's the only other option to connect to other people who are going through this, right? So what you have is ongoing conversations that aren't really itemized, right? So it's like, okay, one minute you're talking about divorce, and the next minute somebody's talking about, dating, and the next minute someone's talking about co-parenting, and another minute, you know, so it's chop and change, and it's hard to follow, which can also be very overwhelming, right? So within this portal, we have basically mini conversations about different things. So let's say, you know, I'm a mother of a newborn going through a divorce. Well, I will connect with a conversation around maybe potentially co-parenting young kids, right? So somebody with older children won't be interested in that conversation. They're not going to jump in on that. So it's segmented conversations, right? So you're not overwhelming. You go into the conversations that you feel like you need to get some information or ask information. And they're always moderated by professionals, right? And you yourself could actually even have your own group in there, their own conversation in there. You have, you know, so it's the idea is really also to educate people also on the divorce coaching part aspect, because I really want people to understand that it really helps in the end. I mean, I have spent countless amount of money and needless amounts. And I know so many people who have come to me and have already spent ridiculous amounts because mm-hmm. they're stuck. They don't know what to do. They're listening to their lawyer too much. You know, everything outside of legal, you shouldn't be talking to your lawyer about. Bottom line, that's the way I put it. So, you know, I think this is a way to help with that, right? That is what Split FYI is all about. This is what I've been working on all through COVID, you know, really to get it user-friendly, to get it so people can get in there and really feel, okay, we got each other's back. This platform has my back. You know, I'm able to differentiate certain things. If I really one day I want to talk about dating, I'm going to jump into that conversation. I'm ready for dating. Let's see what other people are saying. You know, what other dating coaches are out there? You know, what has helped other people? You know, what are the apps that are out there? You know, like, but this is really, it's centered around that. It's people helping other people and it's professionals helping, right?
Right.
So you have different modalities.
It sounds amazing. I can't wait to actually see the final result. I know right now it's a landing page or, you know, a holding spot, right? Anytime somebody's going to launch something, there's usually a landing page, whether exactly. it's a book or a course or a movie, like, well, who doesn't have that? Just like a one page kind of holding spot for the real deal. But I'm super excited. And as I'm listening to you talk about this safe space and your own dashboard and connecting to others and having the connection with professionals and resources and ability to save those resources to your portal, it sounds a little bit like a micro mini version of this new phenomenon, Clubhouse. But not, you know, more of an audio version and like this, I don't know, just it like was like, it's very like a micro version of that, particularly with the, not the anonymity, of course. So I love that they have the ability to go on there anonymously, really, where mm-hmm. you can maintain your safety and your identity as you see fit. Although I think that could be a little tricky with the identity thing. There must have to be some sort of vetting process. I'm sure you've got it down, but mm-hmm. it's a major issue. I know when I'm coaching and mediating, I do work with a lot of people who are dealing with high conflict, high asset cases where they really feel isolated. Not as if they're able to trust anyone because they trusted their partner to do the right thing and realize that's not occurring. And they really just don't know where to turn for good advice. And the worst thing is when you get bad advice that you just don't know who to trust and who are the experts, who are those professionals to go to. And when you're living in that state of high stress, cortisol is, you know, taking over. You're using the part of your brain that's just trying to get you through the minute, let alone the day. And mm-hmm. this is where we really make bad decisions, right? And yeah. I love the fact that you can have that safe space because I hear that I feel so alone. I feel so alone. Mm-hmm. That is something I hear on a daily basis. So this makes me feel very happy. Lila, that you have created that. Are creating it. So it sounds yeah. amazing.
No, it's an interesting, it's been an interesting ride because, you know, I've learned a lot through this process in this past year. You know, I myself, you know, do interviews and I've interviewed people who've gone through divorce. I've, you know, interviewed professionals, which you'll be on there too. And what I've learned is, yes, there's a lot of hesitation. There's so much fear, Paulette, you know, there is so much fear when you're going through divorce. And fear, you know, okay, knowledge is the antidote to fear. I know you've heard that. And so the only way to get through a lot of that is through knowledge, right? It's you being, you know, but not inundated with a lot of things that are coming at you. It's smart knowledge, right? It's sifted. It's, you know, let's not hear like, listen, I'm all for, if you need to vent and you need to get things out, I get it. Anger is important to get out. I am not saying you shouldn't, but if you're always constantly involved with that kind of talk, or it goes back to that. So, okay. So in fact, in our portal, we will have the venting room. Of course, you know, if you need to vent, by all means, yes. But venting is there to vent and then move on, right? We need, you know, the ideas to get through it.
It's
painless, and get out, and as painless as possible, right? Make new friends, make, you know, create your new life. It's all about re-envisioning a new life. You know, this is how I help people through. And, you know, we're stuck in the fear and we're stuck in the why, right? Like the why. It's always the why. And, you know, you realize that, you know, once you do start, just, you kind of forget the why after a while, when you're just like, okay, I just got to move on. Now it's not about the why. It's about like, let me just get to the other side and let me move on and let's recreate my life. Right. You know, going back to the why, and I wanted to say this because I did want to mention it to your audience, when, you know, when it all happened and I was in that state of shock, I remember the first book. Now, I couldn't even watch TV. I couldn't even get I couldn't have that kind of stimulation, because you can imagine I was just such an emotional state. Mm-hmm. I couldn't watch TV. I couldn't, you know, it was, and back then I wasn't on social media. I couldn't even go on the internet. It was just crazy. I picked up a book called Many Lives, Many Masters by Brian Weiss. I don't know if you know this book.
I don't believe I'm familiar about it. Tell me.
Oh, okay. So somebody said to me, and I think it was, I can't remember if it was my therapist or somebody else. I remember somebody wise, but somebody said to me, I kept saying, but why is this happening? Why did he do this? Or why is this happening? You know, like, why is this happening to me? And it was a constant why. And they're like, read this book. Now, this book speaks to, Brian Weiss is such an amazing, he's actually a psychotherapist, I believe.
No, I've actually met him at one of those Hay House conferences. So
interesting.
Yeah. So, but I'm not familiar with maybe I'm not familiar with that title, but yes, I'm curious. What is the premise?
Well, many lives, many masters is his story, actually, with one of his colleagues was riddled with, you know, emotional distress, right? She was fearful of something. She was fearful of this. She was, you know, fearful of, I think, swimming. You know, there was so many different things. She couldn't seem to get back on track in her life. And he said, well, why don't we try hypnotherapy? So it was the recount of their sessions together, which was unbelievable. I mean, she, you know, at times they would go back and she would depict times in the past, like distinctively, when she was under hypnotherapy, saying like she was in, you know, the Renaissance era. Now, I'm not saying this is actually it, because I can't remember exactly what era she was in, but she drowned. They would go to a point where something would happen to her within that past life that she was recounting in the hypnosis state, right? And all of a sudden, by experiencing it and by looking at it in her hypnosis state in the face, she was like kind of cured by it, right? All of a sudden, she wasn't afraid of water anymore, because she met that moment where she was drowning within her, under hypnotherapy. It's phenomenal. But what it really gave to me was that why? Like, why do we know why things happen, right? We don't know. My take on it was, and what I got out of it was, my reason, I was meant to meet him for whatever worth, forever, if he was in my past life, or I knew him before, I was meant to, you know, marry my ex-husband, I was meant to have my daughter. That's it. There doesn't need, and this is my journey. And like you said earlier, you know, and now I've utilized that to hopefully, you know, help other people and hope I'm doing a good job at it, you know. And I listen, my rewards are always when somebody comes to me and says, oh my God, thank you. Mm-hmm. You know, just thank you for helping me. Thank you for saying that, you know, even in passing, even on a DM, even in a message, whatever, you know, even if they're not my clients and, you know, hopefully through this portal, mm-hmm. that's the end game. You know, it's like, all right, let's get unstuck. You know, let's do the best we can. Let's make new friends, you know, let's get insights from other people, you know, and most of all from professionals that can really help you through. Mm.
Well, you just summarized for me the difference between having knowledge versus having wisdom. You can gain knowledge by reading a book. You can right. gain knowledge by watching a show or studying and getting a degree and, you know, many different ways that we gain information. And I'm a little controversial, but we're basically bombarded with information, in my opinion.
For sure.
Too many times right now, are, you know, well, for quite some time. And our brains are on overload. We tend to be wired for stimulus. Mm-hmm. And this is why there's also so much conflict and I'm just going to leave it a conflict, right? But no. when you turn that knowledge into actually an experience where it gets into your body and your DNA and your mind, your heart, your soul, your emotional, psychological, mental aspects of you are integrated into the physical. And I know I'm getting a little woo-woo yoga on some people, but that's my other love of studying. But if it really becomes powerful when that knowledge turns into an experiential, transformational, evolutionary journey towards being wiser and making better decisions. So, in my opinion, that's, you know, the why is, you know, there's so many, you know, books on why, and I can see his face, of course. He has a TED talk on why, and then his name has escaped me, but just Google TED Talk, why, your why, and of course, but.
Oh, Simon Sinek.
Say, what'd you say?
Simon Sinek.
Thank you. Yeah, the brain was just like, wait, I can see him sitting there. Yes, Simon Sinek, it's amazing. He's very wise, right? So this is what divorce does to us. It takes us from a journey of having no knowledge, right? No knowledge. There you are, 6 months pregnant. You don't know shit about divorce, right?
Nor parenting. I mean, maybe,
you know, but you personally, you know, it's just, we have our baggage that we bring with us from our experiences. My grandmother divorced my grandfather in the 1920s, you know, so I had a rather, you know, my experience with divorce, but it turned into knowledge and wisdom when I myself went through it and have now coached and mediated, you know, hundreds of people through the process. Mm-hmm. And now I'm taking that wisdom and helping other people gain their own knowledge so that they can make better decisions. And they're all different. And I also see an incredible shift in the divorce journey because of the pandemic. Now, how has the pandemic affected you personally as a divorced family? I get asked that a lot because it's affected school and parenting and work and finances and everything. But what is your take on that? How has it personally affected you as being a divorced family?
So, you know, obviously it is for every family, it's been difficult for sure. But for me personally, it has been a very difficult ride in the sense that the contact, you know, for my daughter between her father and mine was, you know, jaded. I mean, in the sense that he lives in Canada, you know, I live in America, borders are closed. Mm-hmm. We faced a lot of difficulty trying to even get her to go and see him. And what happened and what it meant was that when she did, she was there for a lengthy period of time. Mm. Right? There's no going back and forth.
There's no carpooling.
Oh, no. I mean, you know, we couldn't even jump on a plane. I mean, that's how crazy it was. I had to drive her. I flew to Seattle from LA, drove her to the border. He met me. He flew to Vancouver, drove to the border, and we met at the border. So, you know, that exchanged our daughter, you know, like it was, there was a, it put a lot of strain in that, you know, and there was obviously an emotional strain because for my daughter in itself that, you know, when am I going to see my dad? And then, you know, when she's right. there, I miss you, mom. Like, wait a minute. This isn't, I didn't sign up for this 3 months in, you know, this summer was a really long summer over there and where she's having a fantastic time and she loves her dad. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, she's still young enough to say, okay, this is a lot of time away from my mom. So, you know, navigating that was really difficult. We're in a place now, my ex-husband and I, that and this is what I say, you know, there's hope for everyone. You know, even though we went through the divorce, you know, in and out of court for 10 years nearly, I say, you know, there was a turning point and we definitely are at a place where we have both now focusing on what's best for our daughter. And I've had to let go of a lot. Now, he presented with me and I knew he would. To me, you know, I think she should come to Canada for school because here I'm living outside of Toronto. He has a house outside of Toronto as well. He's like, we've moved there and their school is going strong. There's no COVID cases there. She would be in school with other people. She could ski all winter. Right. She can be outdoors. She can play with people, you know, and okay, so you can imagine as a mom, here I am going, okay, I know that's the best thing for her, but God, I'm going to miss her. Like, how am I going to cope? How am I going to do this? You know, and I really had to put the eye out of this and take the eye out of it and go, all right, this is the best solution for her. Now, that was my take, but at the end of the day, it was asking her. Now, at first she didn't want to go. And after a while, when she thought about it and she realized, and I wasn't persuading her which way or the other. Both him and I decided this is going to be her decision ultimately, right? Yeah. And she did say, she's like, no, I want to go. I think this is great. You know, because it is a hard decision. I mean, she's still, albeit in digital schooling, she is still in schooling with her friends, right? So get up and then leave and also go to another school and make new friends. And, you know, there was a process that she had to go through. But we really let her make that decision. And, you know, historically, it was a lot of us trying to make decisions and us doing this. And we know what's best for her. And, you know, she is 12. So for those who have younger children, it is a bit harder. But yeah, I think that, you know, depending on the age, I think that it for us, I think that was the hardest bit of the COVID, what if COVID has done. You know, it's not easy. It's not like we finally had a system in place, you know.
Nothing is simple anymore. It's all just uncharted waters.
It's uncharted waters. And it's amplifying, you know, in many cases, this, especially the discord between, you know, co-parenting, right? Like there's, you know, or parallel parenting is what I would say now, because, you know, people literally can't, how do you co-parent when you don't really have this back and forth like you used to, right? And especially this year. So, you know, I was frustrated. I'm not going to lie. I, you know, was taking on her schooling all by myself. No input from, you know, her father. And that really got me angry. And I was like, how, you know, I can't do this on my own. And it was difficult. But, and again, I have to kind of empathize with him because how can he? You know, he's sitting there. He's not part of the process. Mm-hmm. He's not in the classroom, in the digital classroom. He can't come and see her. He can't, you know, it was a difficult thing. And I had to, you know, it's one of those things that you're met with the emotion of it, but, you know, I always hold on to, it's not forever. Mm-hmm. And that's it. It's teaching children to kind of pivot, to be resilient in many ways.
I love that word, resilient.
Yeah,
if we can teach our kids to be resilient, we've done that's our job as being a parent, is teaching your kids to be resilient and confident. Mm-hmm. And well, looking at, you know, the past 12 years, and what would you say the common mistakes you see women make during the divorce process are?
Okay, so for women, I would say that one of the most common mistakes is actually being stuck in that story that they're telling themselves of the divorce. And when I say that is that they are constantly telling it over and over again, even if they're like changing it a little bit, they're just saying the same thing and they're stuck in it. especially if they're ones that they were left. And I mean, I myself did a bit of that myself. So I think that was a big mistake. I think that letting their emotions get in the way, way too much. There's something to be said about, you know, taking your emotion out of divorce. I know it's not easy and there's a time for emotion for sure, but there are other ways of manifesting that emotion, yeah. Right? And so, you know, especially when it comes to communication, right? So, you know, you always have find how, oh, you know, he's so cold and, you know, he's this and he's, I'm like, well, he's just operating a level without emotion. So it's cold to you, but he's just not putting it in there, right? And that's how you have to meet him. It's like, and preserve that energy for something else, you know, preserve that energy and that emotion for yourself. Mm-hmm. Another common mistake is, now I don't want to really generalize this, but it's sad and it's true, but there's, you know, it is changing, I will say, especially from when I got divorced, but a lot of women, don't have their head around the finances. So the common mistake is not having that. Now, if you're thinking about getting divorced because you're unhappy, mm-hmm. I always say you really need to have your head around what you're dealing with. What are the finances? A lot of cases, they don't even have a joint account. They don't even know what's in the bank account of their spouse.
They yes, don't even lack of knowledge versus knowledge. yes.
Exactly. The lack of knowledge. And that's where knowledge comes in. And that's what, you know, circling back to that knowledge and wisdom, I say that knowledge is a very important piece of the puzzle, right? Because there are, like we said, it is the business of divorce, right? It's a breaking of a marriage, but there in within that is the finances, the house, the children, the this, a separation. So there is knowledge that you need to have, right? You just need to have that. And the wisdom does come in when you start applying it and also start helping others. That's the nugget, right? Because then you start really, when you're starting applying it by teaching almost others or, oh my God, and helping others, that's really when it solidifies is too. That's what happened to me. I think the other, I mean, you know, there's.
We could both go on for days.
I know. Yeah, I mean, it's a mindset. How about that? You know, I think.
The really important ones, Yeah,
no. And I think those are, you know, top three probably on my mind, but that we make mistakes with. You know?
Well, I know I made a ton of them, and the fact that I can help prevent others from making them. I had a client for here, it's socially distanced, who lives in my area, here for an hour and a half before we recorded this podcast. And I went over to my 6-foot whiteboard and drew a line down the middle of it. And I wrote emotional on one side and legal on the other. And I carefully walked her through the journey of those two different paths. And do they dissect? I intersect? Yes. But the one is the legal aspect and one is the emotional aspect. And typically judges and do not ask you how you're feeling. And, you know, and typically, you know, they're two separate paths. And
of course.
Clearly, you know, showed that in that conversation. And when you see it as the same path, you can make really bad decisions.
Right. And I think that's one thing I would add to that list of common mistakes, that as women, we're just wired this way, that we, especially moms, we give, we don't think about ourselves. We don't nourish ourselves, you know, and you as a, you know, so well-versed in yoga, it is so important that you give yourself that time. You give yourself that self-care, right? Mm-hmm. And it looks like it to people in so many different ways, but you got to make that time for yourself. Mm. That is super important.
Amen. Love it. So good. thank you so much for giving us your time and sharing your journey and your expertise and your own wisdom. What is the easiest and best way for people to learn about you and Split FYI when they're seeking community?
Well, for sure, our website, which is www.split.com. FYI.com. And on Instagram, we're Split FYI. And I also have my own Instagram page that can learn a little bit more about me at The Split Coach.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank
you for having me. Honestly, this is great. I love talking to you. I love what you're doing through this podcast. Honestly, I wish I had this podcast to listen to when I was going through my divorce. And I think that's what you're creating is such a great platform for people to really learn so much about so many different things, and modalities and, personalities. It's great. I love it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's something a couple years ago, a lot of clients were saying to me, what resources do you have? And, are you going to write a book? And do you have a podcast? And I was like, I barely have time to do what I'm doing. But, you know, what's that? Where there's a will, there's a way. My mother
totally
teach me, right?
Totally. Uh-huh.
I also want to invite you, all those of you that are listening, I am also doing 2 sessions with my co-partner in crime, Alyssa Panitz, who's a journalist and has an article that is named 5 Ways to Thrive and Survive Through Divorce on Authority Magazine. She interviewed myself and my husband, Stephen, as experts in the divorce field. And on Clubhouse on Wednesdays at 7 and Sundays at 8 o'clock Eastern time, twice a week, Alyssa and I will be doing Clubhouse rooms for 1 hour with exceptional professionals and experts in their fields, all things divorce. So spread the word if there's anyone out there that is just looking for any, it's free, just come on. It's all about community and listening and learning and starting to create your new chapter of your life that you desire and deserve, making better decisions and not feeling alone. This is why Lila does what she does and why I do what I do. So thank you for sharing your time. Everybody, keep thriving in the chaos. No matter what, you got this. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in. And make sure if you want to talk to us or ask us questions, you can always email us at thrivinginchaospodcast@gmail.com. See you next week.